Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to KCBS In-Depth, a discussion of one of the topics making news this week. This is KCBS In-Depth.
It's been just over a week now since Valentine's Day, a day that puts the challenges of love and dating first and foremost in our minds. And it looks like here in the Bay Area, well, at least among the daters that we spoke with, those challenges are getting to be overwhelming.
Online dating is the worst. It's literally the worst ever.
You spend all of your money on Tuesday nights, you interview a dozen people, none of them go well. And you're like, oh, I'm right back where I started.
It's complete trash. I'm over it. I'm tired.
So where is all this dissatisfaction coming from? And is there anything specific to the Bay itself that's making the already difficult task of finding love even harder? I'm Keith Menconi. This is In Depth. And today on the program, now that we do have some distance from Singles Awareness Day, we're going to talk about dating here in the Bay Area and how to make it better. A quick note, today's program is actually an abridged version of a new podcast we're putting out called How to Bay Area. For the full program, you can head online to kcbsradio.com. So here's what we're going to be doing on today's show. A little bit later in the program, we're going to be fielding some dating gripes, that is, complaints about dating that we got from Bay Area residents. And we'll be meeting those gripes with some answers from two San Francisco dating experts. So do stay tuned for that. But first, we're going to hear from two prolific daters out there in the Bay Area dating pool, and they're going to give us a little bit of a sense of what we're all up against. Let's first meet David Rodwin. He is a performer who first moved to San Francisco 4 years ago, who I think it's fair to say has racked up more than a few dating stories in that time.
So one of my craziest dates was the number 119th woman who I went out on a date with.
You heard that right, 119th woman. He moved to the city from LA after a difficult breakup, never having used the apps before, but when he got here, he dove in headfirst, and for him, the San Francisco dating scene and the whole online dating world was something of a revelation.
What happened was I became so fascinated with all the variety and diversity and unexpectedness of it that I kept on trying to go out there. So I actually went on dates with 120 different people in 2 years.
120, 2 years. Those are the stats to remember. But David says there was a steep learning curve getting into the San Francisco dating scene. He had a lot to learn. So getting back to the story about his date with the 119th woman.
It was almost at the end of the 2 years, and we sat down, and before the first drink even arrived, in the first 5 minutes, she just laid it all out. She said, okay, just so you know, there are three things you need to know about me. I'm bi, I'm poly, I have a boyfriend, I have a girlfriend, my boyfriend just kicked me out, my girlfriend isn't speaking to me, and that's why I'm here with you. Number two, because that was just number one. Number two, I work in marijuana, and you have to be totally cool with that because I'm going to turn it into the first billion-dollar industry dominated by women. And I was just thinking the entire time, only in San Francisco. And the funny thing is, my first reaction to her, I just looked at her and I said, I think we're going to be friends a very, very long time. And it's been over 2 years, and we're actually still friends, even though we dated for just a month.
All that to say that in San Francisco, and maybe other places in the Bay Area as well, there's just a few more options on the dating menu, few more choices to choose from. But David says it's not all high highs in the SF dating scene. There are occasionally low lows as well. He told me that in his first year, he was, you know, just exploring the playing field, getting to know the city a little bit better. Second year, he was really focused on finding the one, settling down, finding just the right person. And that process, he says, was a lot harder. He told me that eventually, the fear began to sneak in that maybe it was just never going to work out.
It takes a lot of footwork and a lot of trying again and again and again until you finally find someone that you match with. And it can be exhausting. And there are moments while you're going through it all where sometimes maybe you think it's you or maybe you think it's the technology and you don't know how to make it better. And you can get through real moments of despair when you go through it like that.
What David and many other Bay Area daters has found is that even with all those extra options on the menu, all those extra opportunities, and all that extra technology helping you out, finding love here can still be a huge challenge. Unless you say, well, I'm sure that dating is just hard anywhere, let me quickly introduce you to another prolific dater on the program today.
So I have been in San Francisco for 11 years at this point.
That's Mika Minks. She does event production and dates quite a bit.
And I absolutely love this city. It's amazing. It's everything to me. However, I discovered several years ago that although my life was flourishing, my dating life really was one of the only areas where I wasn't getting everything that I wanted.
Now, Mika brings an interesting perspective to the program because she's something of a nomadic dater. That is to say, she was so dissatisfied with her San Francisco dating experience that she felt that she had to look to other cities to find what she was looking for.
I started exploring with going on dates when I was traveling.
Armed with the dating app OkCupid, she managed to locate like-minded daters around the country and even around the world.
And so I was like, oh, this is so cool. There's a bunch of guys in Boulder and Austin and New York, in various places in Europe. And so when I was planning my travel, I was like, well, this is cool. I'll just go on all these dates in these locations.
So this prolific dater is in a good position to give us a little perspective on the Bay Area dating scene. And what she has to say is not all positive. In her view, we've let our convenience culture go a little bit too far. You know, of course, we've already hacked ordering food, getting a ride, even getting your laundry done.
It's about convenience. It's about getting what you want as quickly as possible. If there's something that's better, they might just move towards that.
And this all works fine when we're talking about, you know, simple life essentials. But she says this mentality has bled into our dating life as well.
I mean, you know, how you do your life in one way is how you end up doing it in every way here. And so it's about like, oh, I want to do a bunch of dates. I want it to be convenient. If it's not working, I can just easily get something else. It's not an issue. This mentality works for so many things. And this is why San Francisco is thriving. And myself included, I love the convenience, the luxury, the simplicity of my life here. And it just doesn't work so well if you're wanting deep human connection.
And because of all that, she keeps her San Francisco dating expectations relatively low.
I just kind of like date San Francisco with the knowledge of the qualities that San Francisco is. And I don't expect San Francisco to be Brooklyn or to be Portland. You know, I expect to go out with a guy who is really overbooked, gonna be on his phone a lot of the date. You know, he'll do his best to plan a date with me, but you know, he probably has a few other girlfriends. Thinks he's really into having relationships and connection, but there's really not much space in his life for that, let alone his mental capacity for that.
All right, so starting to get the picture that it is not the easiest dating scene out there, but the dating gripes are just getting started. Up next, we're inviting onto the show two San Francisco dating experts to take on your top dating problems. Helping me in that conversation will be my colleague, KCBS reporter Megan Goldsby, who actually went with me on a little reporting trip to interview some Bay Area daters, and during the upcoming interview, we'll be hearing portions of those interviews. So you're going to want to stay tuned for all that and more coming up next.
I've been looking for someone like you, and you've been looking for somebody too. But all I want from you is not what you want from me. I like music, love and romance, a walk in the moonlight, a kiss and a dance. But all I get from you is pain and dishonesty.
First up, for some perspective on the online dating world, let's welcome in Dawoon Kang. She is the co-founder and co-CEO of Coffee Meets Bagel, which, for those who don't know, is a San Francisco-based dating site that I would say values quality over quantity when it comes to the matches that it serves up. Dawoon, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We've also got with us today Sasha Silberberg, San Francisco-based dating coach and matchmaker. You can learn more at OKSasha.com. She's going to help us up our dating game. Where were you 2 years ago when I was dating? Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to open things up today with an observation from a guy that I met in downtown San Francisco named Sugandhit.
Everything's going online, bro.
It's going all right?
It's going online.
Oh, it's going online.
It's going online. There's not
So we learned two things in that clip. First of all, I can't hear in bars. I have terrible hearing. second of all, though, everything, as Sugandhit says, is going online in the dating world. To Sugandhit, he says this is kind of a mixed blessing.
There's not much this old connection, like, okay, you saw somebody at the bar, there's a spark there, like, she saw you saw her, like, there was a glimpse there.
So, everything moving online. Dawoon, I want to start out with you. Do you think that it's true that in the Bay Area, online dating has become more pervasive than other regions around the country, or are we about on par with what you might see elsewhere?
We do see a much higher penetration when it comes to the Bay Area, at least on Coffee Meets Bagel, in terms of when you look at the percentage of population that's actually participating in online dating / on our app. So I would say the adoption rate in the Bay Area is much higher compared to the average.
And Sasha, when people come to you looking for a match, are you hearing that they feel like the whole world of dating is online now, that it's all in apps?
Definitely. Yeah, most people, if not everybody who comes to me, they are really trying to find an alternative to online dating. Most of them have tried it for who knows how long, 6 months, a year, several years, and they just haven't had success with it.
So not everyone's thrilled with this move online, though. We also talked to John. Now, he's in his early 20s and works as a doorman and a bartender, and we asked him how his dating life is going.
Not that you look like you have any dating problems, but
you'd be surprised.
And he says for him, the worst thing about dating in the city is using those dating apps. He does have a message for you guys.
Like, you guys act like you're making it easier for me, but you're doing quite the opposite.
So his main complaint is when you only have that tiny little picture and maybe one sentence to make the case for yourself, that he says the whole online dating culture becomes a little shallow.
I don't know. I feel like it's so surface level now that it's, if I don't have a funny pun or a professionally taken photo, then my chances are more limited than they would be if I'm just like meeting up with somebody in a bar or a restaurant, you know, and having a more personal connection that way.
This is probably something you have heard before, Dawoon. What's your answer to that when people say, how do you really get to know someone just using an app?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with John's sentiment. It feels shallow. And whenever we interview our, potential users or users and ask, hey, like, what's the first word that comes to you when you think online dating? I think shallow actually is up there, and frustration and disappointment is also up there. And that is exactly the sentiment that we're trying to change at Coffee Meets Bagel. And it's hard. Like, when you know, with the rise of Tinder, you know, I think dating apps kind of has geared towards more volume-based, swipe-based kind of behavior, and which can result in a lot of people just sitting there swiping hundreds of profiles and then connecting but not saying anything and ghosting, and that definitely makes dating harder.
Mm. From the perspective of somebody who's designing a dating app, how can you encourage people to be more expressive of who they really are and share a little bit more and be a little bit more genuine on an app?
Yeah, so the first thing that we're really known for that I think really helps us and our users consider each profile and each person more genuinely than other apps is that we actually curate a limited number of people. And so Coffee Meets Bagel is designed such that every day at noon, you get a selection of potential matches, which we call bagels. And it's not like you can sit there and swipe forever because you have like an unlimited pool of people that you can just do that to. And so because of that just limited quantity, people do tend to take more time actually reading and getting to know the person. And so and also our profile compared to other volume-based casual dating apps have more details. And so it's not an essay that you have to read, but gives you snippets of keywords that really kind of gives you a glimpse of the person's personality and their values, such that you can kind of decide, oh, is this somebody that I want to get to know more? You're not going to know everything about this person. So that when you connect, you can actually have something interesting to converse with.
Hmm. And that's really good advice. I like that. We want to move on to our next complainer. I guess that's not a really nice way to phrase it, is it? Our next dater.
Our next dater who has a complaint.
Who has a complaint is a much nicer way to phrase mm-hmm. that. We talked to Jeffrey, who's been here 11 years. He's 36 years old, and he says that he likes all of the wide variety of options, but that there might be too many options for him.
Yeah, because everyone's always looking for the next best thing.
Basically, FOMO, the swiping culture that you were just talking about, going from person to person and not settling.
Always having the fear of missing out on that person. Yeah, exactly.
There are too many options. You date someone for two dates, then you're on an app, you see someone else, you're like, ooh, they're prettier. They're more attractive. They went to a better school. I want to date them, too.
So the grass is always greener, of course. Do you think that having all of these options, Damwon, why don't you start? Having all these options, can it make us always want the next best thing?
I definitely think so. I think that's the problem that kind of I was talking about with the swipe culture. To be fair, though, like, I think, you know, dating has probably felt difficult from, like, again, dawn of time. Like, I don't think dating has ever felt really easy for anyone, pre-online dating, post-online dating. And the reason why with online dating feels things have exacerbated is because if you actually were able to go on a date, like, once a month before online dating, now you have a full control such that if you want to go on, like, two dates in a day, you can do that. Which is really great because, again, it's in your control and you have the option to be able to do that, whereas before you couldn't, it was impossible. But when you're actually going on that many dates, it feels exhausting, right? So that sense of difficulty, I think, becomes like 10 times worse because of online dating and because you can go on as many dates as you want. And so, I mean, to that point, I would say, like, another advice that I give our users is take a break, you know, like pace it out. Don't ever feel obligated to be on it. If you kind of start feeling like you're in a complaining mode, it's perfectly fine to take a break, spend time for yourself and with your friends, and then get back on when you're in a better place. That probably actually gives you better results anyway.
I found you have to get really good at that phrase, oh, remind me again where you went to college, because you can mix a bunch of people up when you're dating a bunch of people at once. Sasha, do you encourage people when you're matching them up to spend time focused on just the one person, maybe go on two or three dates, or do you encourage people to have a few folks in rotation?
Yeah, so when I show somebody, basically whenever I have matches for someone, I'll show them 2 to 3 matches at a time, and I'll give them a bunch of information on them so that they can make well-informed decisions. And then, of course, I talk to them about it. And I think hearing me directly talk about it and kind of, you know, they can hear the excitement in my voice and they can really get a sense for who that person is. It's really interesting being a matchmaker in San Francisco because, and I think the little clip that you just played where she was saying it's worse in the Bay Area. The Bay Area, I think, attracts a lot of maximizers. You know, we have some of the best tech talent in the world. You know, it's one of the most expensive cities. You have to be, you know, pretty good at what you do to be able to live here. And people have pretty high standards for both themselves and for their partners. So you see a lot of maximizers and a lot of people, when they come to me at first, they'll, you know, some people will have a list of all of the different things that they're looking for. And to some degree, I think that's good. I think it's good to know what you want. But I always encourage people to be open. another trend that I see is when people go on first dates, a lot of times they're kind of looking for red flags, which I think that's going to make you more closed, because the thing is, you're going to put somebody in the box that you create for them. You're going to fit them in that box. So I think it's important to have awareness around that.
That's a really good tip.
All right. Well, this is one that we hear about a lot. Let's start with the statistics. According to 2016 U.S. Census data, as reported in the Mercury News, for every 100 women in the San Francisco, San Jose region, there are 150 men. So again, for every 100 women, 150 men. It's a little bit of an imbalance there. Here's one of our interviewees who put it a little bit more bluntly.
There is a lot of guys.
That's Kaylin speaking to us on her first date with Dan.
When I go out in the Bay Area, there's like a lot of guys out.
Tonight, the bar, I was like, oh, we need one more woman. And so I spotted you. The bar is almost all men tonight.
I know. No, and you know, what's funny is that's kind of how it is. Every time I go out, like any, especially in San Jose, I'm from San Jose. So anytime I go out with my girlfriends, it's like, oh my gosh, there's nothing but men out tonight. That's pretty much how it is. So yeah, I feel like it might be a little easier for guys, or maybe harder because there's less women. I'm not sure.
So she's asking there if it's harder for guys. And according to our research, the verdict is yes, it is harder.
The tech industry, unfortunately, is so predominantly male that being the heart of Silicon Valley.
Here's the take from Marcus. He's a bouncer who works in San Jose, who says, yes, it is very much harder.
I mean, the LGBTQ community is thriving here. A lot of people are coming in, too, that are part of that community. Great thing. But for straight males, you know, out there, it's really hard to date, you know.
Just a lot of competition?
A lot of competition. You know, when you got, you know, five or six alpha males, you know, trying to go after one female, it kind of thins out the pool, you know.
Yeah. So, Dawoon, this is a complaint that we've heard a lot in our research for this. So what are your thoughts on how pervasive this problem is and how it's changing the dating scene here, just the fact that there are so many men?
Yeah, well, for San Francisco, definitely the gender ratio is lopsided. And, you know, when it comes to online dating, it's going to be even more so because just in terms of dating at participants, there are a lot more guys, you know, as a percentage of population participating in dating apps, and they're much more active. So you can kind of imagine it gets worse. And we do actually see slight behavioral difference for different cities when it comes to men and women, depending on the gender ratio. And it's interesting for San Francisco, for example, we see that women on average like less people, so they're slightly, you could say it's slightly pickier, I guess, than the national average, versus, and then especially compared to a city like New York or DC, where there are actually a lot more women, the difference even becomes greater.
And you think that that's just a matter of maybe supply and demand? The women have more options, so they're going to like fewer of the guys that they see?
That is my theory. I think, I don't know if it explains everything, but I think it definitely could have impact. And I think, honestly, it doesn't really matter what the actual population split is. The perception, I think, of, you know, San Jose being San Jose, and there are a lot more guys than, you know, women in the Bay Area. I think that having that perception, it's a very common perception. I think that really could influence.
So, Sasha, you know, we just heard that clip from Marcus right there. He's saying that he feels that his dating prospects are a little bit worse because he has more male competition. Do you hear that from some of the people that you work with? And if so, what do you tell them?
I hear that it's difficult on both sides. I think that men definitely, you know, especially with their online dating experience, they see a lot of, they get a lot of no's. And also just being out there, there's a lot of, yeah, you know, there's Man Jose, there's all of these different ideas around it being a lot of guys. The thing is, I think that what a lot of guys don't realize is that they can have more power than they think. And what I mean by that is I gave this talk on intimacy, and at the end of the talk, I asked the audience, particularly the women in the audience, when was the last time that you got asked out on a date? And everybody pretty much it had been, you know, years since they had been asked out on a date in San Francisco. So I think that although it is perceived as difficult for guys because, you know, there are a lot of guys, it's not, you can really make yourself stand out pretty easily by just asking women out. So the competition piece, I don't think is as relevant as people think it is.
It's so simple, the answer. And people are just missing it.
It's so simple.
Oh, how interesting.
It's so simple. I talk to so many women who are just like, oh my God, if a guy asks me out, like I'll give him a chance, even if I'm not, you know, I'm not super attracted to him, just because it's so refreshing to get someone to just ask you out.
I would imagine it's the same for men too. For a woman to ask out, that would be super refreshing.
Right. It shows they can really talk to you.
Yeah. Like people are just, you know, and I don't know, I imagine that online dating has certainly affected this. You know, people are fear vulnerability. They fear putting themselves out there. But the truth is that that's the very thing that's going to make you stand out and really give you an edge in the dating scene, because people are craving vulnerability. And that's also what makes people build a closer connection.
That's a good call.
Okay, well, take note, everyone listening at home. This is probably the most actionable advice you're going to get all day on this program. All right, well, it's just been great talking to both of you. Once again, we have been speaking there to Dawoon Kong. She is the co-founder and co-CEO of Coffee Meets Bagel. And we were also speaking there to Sasha Silberberg, who once again is a San Francisco-based dating coach and matchmaker. You can learn more about her work at OKSasha.com. So yeah, again, thank you guys so much. Great talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
That is it for the show today. One last time, the program you just heard is actually part of a new podcast segment we're running called How to Bay Area. You can find the podcast online at kcbsradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We also have a few more episodes in the can and a bunch more on the way. So again, that's How to Bay Area. Thanks today to Megan Goldsby for joining me on the show. Also want to thank David Rodwin, who appeared earlier in the program. The story that he told is actually part of his solo storytelling show, F Tinder, which is now playing in San Francisco through March 2nd. You can find tickets to that at f-tinder.com. We also heard there from Mika Minx. She blogs about her dating life. You can find that at mikaminx.com. Do tune in again next week for another in-depth conversation shedding light on life here in the Bay Area. For KCBS, I'm Keith Manconi, and I'll see you then.
You've just heard KCBS In-Depth, a news interview program for All News 740 and FM 106.9 KCBS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.